Coming up on podcast 1510, General Motors adds plug and charge to the Bolt, the Hummer, and the Lyric. Stick around and I'll tell you what I know. Also on the podcast today, we talk about Stellantis going right back to the mine for their lithium, how the new Nissan Leaf gets a little bit more expensive, but is it still good value to buy? And Skoda are building high-powered chargers in Prague. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Wherever you're listening around the world, welcome to EV News Daily, your trusted source of EV information. It is the weekend. Happy weekend if you're listening to this close to when we publish, Saturday 25th of June. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story so you don't have to. About 15 big EV stories today, so we're going to crack on. Recording this a little bit later than normal because I've been up from Dorset to London today. You see, my parents, my mum and stepdad, have bought their first electric vehicle, and they bought the MG5 Estate, and it's the first long trip they've done. Heathrow to pick up my sister. She's flying in from Australia. She flew in this morning from Perth. Is about 100 miles, so 200 miles round trip, and the MG5 would just about do that at motorway speeds at 65-70. So a stop was required. This is the first long distance trip they've done. They have DC fast charged in the first couple of weeks they've owned the vehicle, but I went with them. So it was a 3 o'clock start this morning, up the M3 to Heathrow. We stopped at Fleet northbound, completely deserted. Two new GridServe chargers there. So I showed them how to charge on a DC fast charger, which, you know, is tap your card and plug it in, or on GridServe, it's plug it in and tap your card and off and away. And that's the thing about stopping that people don't realize, and people compare petrol, which takes, you know, 10 minutes to pump, is actually after that time, it was early, we needed coffee and breakfast, we stopped for half an hour anyway, the car was full again, and off you go. So it wasn't wasted time charging, but either way, that's why I'm recording a little bit later. That's what I've been up to today. Wonderful to see family who I've not seen my niece and nephew and my sister in 3 years because they live the other side of the world to me. So it was nice to go up to Heathrow and meet them off the plane, and nice to introduce my parents as well to DC fast charging. And they're much more confident. Having done it once now with me, they're now much more confident to take on some longer road trips. They're in their 70s, but they're still very keen to stay in touch with technology. Right, let's kick off with the news. And BMW have a joint venture in China. BMW Brilliance is the company name, and BMW have expanded their production footprint in China by opening up their new facility in Shenyang. It's called Plant Lydia, as in the name Lydia. It's a major expansion for BMW Brilliance, and it's the biggest single investment they've made in China as BMW. It's in Shenyang. The plant has four major production processes, everything to make electric vehicles: press, body shop, paint shop, and assembly. And annual production, 830,000 units. This is a serious, serious BMW plant in China. Plant Lydia will make 100% electric vehicles in time. It won't make pure EVs to begin with. It'll make some EVs and some other stuff, but in time it'll be ready to go with full EV. And they will make the BMW i3 there, not the i3 that you think I'm talking about, because that ends anytime now in Germany. But the Chinese i3 is the electric version of the 3 Series, the midsize sedan, sports sedan, that started already back in May being made at this plant. A lot of work being done to reduce carbon emissions for the life cycle of the vehicle in terms of materials used and energy consumed. By 2025, BMW will have delivered more than 2 million pure electric vehicles, with one in every four new vehicles sold in China as BMW being a full EV. And of course, in 2025, we have the new class models coming soon as well. That'll be their next step in EV development. It's where I think BMW will catch up in many ways, because although they were early with the i3, they dropped the ball with management changes, with prevarication around electric vehicles and talking about how great piston power is and combustion, and let's not phase them out too soon. And I think by 2025, BMW will finally have their ducks in a row and go full steam ahead. Until then, they're a little half pregnant on EVs. Now, let's talk about Volkswagen, who have been very early and are reaping the rewards. Funny that. VW are selling the ID4 like hotcakes in the US, and so much so they can't get their Chattanooga plant running quick enough, and they are now thinking about the battery options that they've got in the US. Officials at Volkswagen saying that they're weighing the options of how to secure all the batteries they need. A VEW official talking to journalists saying the Chattanooga factory supply of batteries coming from the SK Innovation Korean company, which is in North Georgia, actually, and they have more than 1,300 people there making the batteries for VW ID4s coming out of Chattanooga. SK has contracts with VW and Ford, by the way. VW dealers are clamoring for the ID4, and the Chattanooga plant will produce it from this summer. So if you're wondering, what's the latest with the ID4 not just being imported from Germany, but being made on US soil? Yeah, this summer. Well, hey, we're in, 25th of June today. So this is summer. We've had the solstice a couple of days ago. You know, downhill till winter now. Sorry to be pessimistic, but hey, anytime from now, I guess. Volkswagen Chattanooga president Chris Glover telling journalists that as the ID4 ramps, the plant is ready. 75,000 hours of training have gone into telling the workforce how to make this incredible vehicle in the US. The battery cells are packaged in a 223,000 square foot assembly facility there and made ready for the vehicle. 78 employees are working two shifts with 89 robots to make those packs, and they're hiring 1,000 more employees to make the ID4 at Chattanooga. Now, moving on to Tesla, next couple of stories from them. First up, they're being sued by some of the workers they've just fired, which is alleging that the mass layoff, the 10% layoff that Elon Musk tweeted about, violated federal law as the company didn't provide advance notice of job cuts. According to the suit, more than 500 employees have been terminated at the Nevada factory alone, and that fails to adhere to the federal laws on a mass layoff. Not just sacking one or two people, but letting lots of people go requires a 60-day notification under the Worker Adjustment and Retraining Notification Act. Elon Musk, the world's richest person, said he had a super bad feeling about the economy earlier this month and followed up with a 10% cut of staff. And talking about that on Twitter, he responded to this lawsuit by saying that it was trivial. A lawyer for the people filing the suit says 2 months' wages might be trivial to the world's richest person, but not following the proper course of action is not acceptable. We'll see how that one turns out. And the Made in Texas Model Y. Now, this is really interesting because it's got the 4680 cells made by Tesla themselves, and it's ending up with customers. I told you earlier in the week how they can't say, would you like one of these? Because I have a feeling everyone who's waiting in line for many, many months for a Model Y would say, yes, please, I'll have one of the Texas ones. You can stick Fremont. However, they're not doing that. But what they are doing is sneakily adding them to the new inventory page. So if you go onto the Tesla US inventory page and you are lucky enough to find a Model Y that has a 279-mile EPA range, that one is a Texas-made one. And you might want the 4680 cells. You might even want a parcel shelf that comes, holy moly, a $70,000 car with a parcel shelf. Who would have thought? Sorry, cynical. And so people are getting these vehicles and testing them now. Some of the YouTubers are. And one of the channels showed that it had a 67.1 kilowatt hour battery pack, but it's very hard to know whether it's 67.1 or 67.5, which another channel claimed. But we think ballpark, it's around there. We don't really have any positive conclusions, firm conclusions. These are estimates. And actually, one theory that I've read many times about the Texas-made 4680 cell car is that it's software locked. Like the early days of the Model S, where you could get a cheaper car, and then people were paying to upgrade it, and it would unlock the battery, right? Because it was the same physical battery, but you could access less of the energy. That they're doing that now while they ramp, because they're putting in sort of 80 odd kilowatt hours into the car, but you can't access it all because people will clearly cancel their Fremont order and only want the Texas one. I don't know. Obviously, no one knows at this stage if that's happening, but that's one theory at least. Now, Stellantis, the car maker Stellantis, is investing 50 million euros, that's $52 million, to buy almost a 10% stake in a mining company, which is the second to become the second largest shareholder and extend their 10-year supply agreement. They're called Vulcan, the miner. It's a German-Australian startup, one of a number of companies testing lithium extraction called Direct Lithium Extraction, DLE, uses less land and groundwater, more sustainable, if you like. Stellantis chief exec Carlos Tavares saying yesterday, on Friday, the deal was part of their strategy to form relationships amid a collective effort to fight global warming. But we've seen this with many of the car makers and the big groups like Stellantis and any of the big car companies. They've realized now, maybe they knew a long time ago but didn't action it, because, well, you and I were talking about this on the podcast years ago, so they would have known, but maybe they weren't doing it, that you have to go right back to the mine, and you have to have very clear visibility of those supply chains, and you have to know where your raw materials are coming from and the practices and the human rights of how those materials are coming out of the planet and the processing, the energy used along the way. And customers want to know about that supply chain. It's not just a case of deliver me my shiny new car, I don't care where it came from. A lot of consumers are saying, well, right, tell me about the embedded carbon in this vehicle, and tell me about what you know about where that cobalt came from. So we've known this for years. I mean, the car makers would have done, and we see now they're getting in bed with miners and going right back to the mine, a very, very important step. Okay, leave us turned on. Headline story coming soon. General Motors adding plug and charge to the Bolt, the Hummer, and the Lyriq. That's really interesting. And we're talking a little bit about the refreshed Leaf on the way next. Leave us turned on. Okay, let's talk about the Nissan Leaf, 2023 model year. Now, the current model year priced at $28,375. I'm talking about the US now. So $28,375. That was a big discount on the previous year, 2021 model. But next year's one goes up a little. It's going to be $28,895. So, you know, not quite $1,000 added to the price. It is an affordable EV. Now, here's where I disagree with this article. Now, MotorTrend.com says, and they write, this is great news for those looking for an affordable electric vehicle where you need 149 miles of total range, so long as you don't mind hunting for a CHAdeMO fast charger when you're out and about. Now, I disagree with Motor Trend there, because I don't think that's cheap, because I think you can get a Bolt cheaper than $28,995. And you don't have to worry about CHAdeMO, and you get another 100 miles. What's the Bolt? Is it the Bolt is 249 EPA? 249 miles? I think, anyway. Correct me if I'm wrong. That's top of my head. I haven't looked it up. That's not sitting in the memory banks very in the random access memory, but it's buried deep somewhere. But I think it's like 249 or 250 or 259 miles EPA for the Bolt, not the EUV. Well, look, the Leaf has CHAdeMO, and it's 100 miles less, and it's more expensive. So whereas Motor Trend say this is great value, I disagree with Motor Trend. Now, yes, they've dropped the S Plus trim for the SV Plus, and the 60 kilowatt hour pack is now $3,500 more. So that if you want that, you want the big battery pack and the better spec, it's now $36,895. But that becomes pricey. So there's another caveat in here. Of course, the Nissan Leaf still just about gets the federal tax credit. So if your tax liability is $7,500 or dollars or more next year, then you do get to save that money. So again, maybe that makes a difference for you, because the Bolt would not get that discount. GM have hit their 200,000 car limit. Nissan haven't. They're about to hit it, which really screws up the Aria. But anyway, Nissan are about to hit it. So you could access $7,500 saving, maybe some state incentives of $2,500, possibly from your energy company or whatever. And then the Leaf is a $20,000 car. So then it is affordable if you need 150 miles and you don't care about rapid gating or CHAdeMO. So not one way or the other, but I don't think it's a killer deal, but still. Now we'll talk about General Motors headline story. GM are adding plug and charge to their Ultium 360 program. General Motors announcing today they are adding plug and charge to the Ultium network of charge providers. So GM haven't built their own network, but they're bringing together other third-party networks under the banner of Ultium Charge 360. In North America, so if you have a Bolt, a Hummer, a Lyric very soon, then you'll be able to use Plug and Charge. That is as it sounds. If you don't know, you arrive, you plug in, you walk away, and the authentication is done, the billing is done in the background. It's the Tesla experience, right? So drivers with an EVgo account can now utilize the convenience of Plug and Charge, and soon it'll be added to all of the networks, which is a lot of them, but not Electrify America, to the Ultium Charge family. This expands the previous collaboration with GM and EVgo, which began 2 years ago. Plug and Charge streamlines an EV charging process for customers, says the writers at Electrek. They say drivers with an EVgo account, active OnStar services, and the GM app for their vehicle can use Plug and Charge within the app. Once activated, they plug in and walk away. No more steps needed. So the fact that you need to have an Ultium Charge 360 network account, you have to use EVgo, and you have to have an OnStar subscription, tells me that's a software solution. So Plug and Charge is a standard that all EVs should and will have, and all charging networks should and will have, and that whatever car in the future, you just plug in and walk away. I'm sensing from this that this is more of a software solution than a VIN solution, but I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong. One of the people in the comments of Electrek says, Theo181, the user, says, the kicker in the story is that the GM owner has to have an OnStar subscription to access the Plug and Charge feature to work. According to Detroit News, it's $25 for OnStar, so $300 a year to access Plug and Charge. I have a Bolt EV, but I'll pass. Somebody replied, called Desi Viecuza, in the My Chevy app. So if you're a Bolt owner, by the way, try this out. In the My Chevy app, go to the Energy tab and the top right and select Public Charging Services. There's two options, EVgo with Charge by App and Plug and Charge, and ChargePoint. I selected EVgo, and I think I chose to enable both of those. Then it asked me to activate, and I had to log in using my EVgo account. When I did it, it's activated, and this person doesn't have an OnStar active subscription. Although, let me add, didn't a lot of Bolts come with either a 1 year or 3 year subscription to OnStar? So, hey, I don't know. I don't live there, so correct me if I'm wrong on any of that, but I think that's the case. But it's a good start. Electrify America is missing, and actually, you shouldn't have to jump through all of those hoops to make Plug and Charge work. The point is, once your billing is set up, like having an Apple iTunes account or whatever, when you download an app, it bills you, and you get your bill once a month on your credit card or whatever, and that's the way Plug and Charge should work. Now in the UK, GridServe and the services, the motorway services, people, Moto, have opened ultra rapid hubs in the UK at Severnview and Heston with high powered chargers. Nationally, Moto and GridServe have gone live with six sites this year, which feature 53 high powered chargers. They are at Rugby. There's 12 chargers at Rugby, six at Swansea, 12 at Exeter, which is a great site, by the way, if you're going down the southwest, six in Kendal at Burton, 12 in Thurrock. And these two new sites, six at Severnview and 11 at Heston. GridServe are doing amazing things, and I'm a massive fan. Now, rewind 2019, and I feel that I should admit, I was very, very skeptical about GridServe because their PR company were harassing me to be covering them. And like the headline story from GridServe in 2019 was, we are building 100 of their electric forecourts, which they've got in Braintree, where there's like 40 or 50 chargers. We're building 100 by 2025. And they're like, the PR people were badgering me. You got to cover it on the podcast. They're building 100 of these sites by 2025. And I was like, I just said to them at the end, look, if this company called GridServe, right, that I've never heard of, are building 100 of them, they have to be doing 20 a year per year until 2025. That is, if it's a straight line, right? Which is 1.5 sites a month. So you're telling me they're going to acquire the land, get planning permission, do the grid connections, get the charging hardware, install them, and put them live 1.5 sites a month? To do 100 of them by 2025, you're full of BS. Stop emailing me. And so I kind of fell out with GridServe years ago, the PR, the hired guns, not GridServe. And I was like, this is nonsense. Like, this is just vaporware. The company's full of it. Because it was this nonsense claim of 100 of these sites. Now, they've opened two, right, in 2 years, Braintree and Norwich, and they're awesome. And what they've done is by buying the electric highway, and I've interviewed Toddington, the chief exec, and he is such a visionary guy, and he's so in tune with what needs to be done. They bought Electric Highway, they've replaced all the hardware, they've invested tens of millions, if not more, in sorting out our motorway network. GridServe have done more for EVs in this country than nearly anyone else, certainly more than BP, right? By buying a great network in Chargemaster and royally, yeah. So I feel bad. Because I was never an early supporter of GridServe because of this ridiculous PR harassment of, you're not talking about their 100 sites they're going to build in 5 years. Well, because they're not. Even though they're backed by Hitachi, the capital required is billions. If you could even get through planning. Anyway, so I feel bad. I'm kind of making amends. That's why I promote GridServe whenever I can, because they've just done awesome, awesome things. And I love the company. But I'm making amends. Now we'll talk about Škoda, the Czech bit of Volkswagen, along with the capital, Prague, putting in 100 high-powered chargers by the middle of the decade. They'll be built in the capital city of Prague. Maybe 200 charging points will be created in the 100 sites with 150 kilowatts DC fast chargers. So, of course, if you know, are a Czech company, you're making a lot of cars there. They're investing in the country. They make vehicles now. In the Czech Republic, not a lot of EVs. Not a particularly wealthy country. It's beautiful, and I've been to Prague, and I've been to out of Prague. There's a town or city called Raditz. I think Raditz. I forget how you say Kraljevo or something. It's like the second city or whatever. Beautiful and such a friendly place. And incredible, awesome food and drink and hospitality, but not the richest of countries, so not a lot of EVs there, but they are getting their ducks in a row, ready for when there's more of them. Now, Goodwood is on this weekend. If you want to go check out some of the cars at Goodwood, I've mentioned this already. BMW i7 is there. That is the uber luxury one from BMW that has the 31-inch screen powered by Fire TV in the back. Hispano-Suiza Carmen, which is interesting and a one-off and a hypercar and bonkers. And that's what should be turning up at Goodwood. Polestar. Turning up with the Polestar 5. Rimac are there with the Rimac Nevera, the car that will do 0 to 62 miles an hour in 1.97 seconds. The Lotus Evija is there. That is the hypercar that costs £2 million. Porsche Taycan Sport Turismo, another one from the Porsche Taycan family, and it's brilliant because they're really investing in the Porsche Taycan, which is great anyway, and adding more and more to the lineup. The Mustang by Charge Cars. Now, that is a classic 67 fastback Mustang with officially licensed Ford body shells, full resto mod, and fully electric as well. That is really, really interesting, and that is going up the Goodwood Hill. The Lotus Eletre is there. That's the electric SUV. If you're going to be going along, check that out. And also the Renault 5 prototype. That's been talked about online for a while now, but this is the 2022 onwards version of the classic Renault 5 concept at this stage, but you just know that it hopefully is going to look like how it looks at the minute. Lucid Air is there, and I've seen some pictures of friends that are at Goodwood, and it's a left-hand drive. So anyone wondering, oh, a Lucid saying, right, we're making right-hand drive versions? No. It's a left-hand drive Lucid Air. Mercedes Vision AMG is there. That is their kind of their vision of what AMG will look like for Mercedes in the electric era. Fisker Ocean is there. Launching in the UK in 2023. It's a limited release. And I think the first ones are going to the subscription company Onto anyway, rather than retail customers. But Fisker are at Goodwood. There's a Rivian there. Rivian have flown in the R1T. Awesome. Thank you, Rivian, and bringing that to the Goodwood Festival of Speed. And then other cars as well that are kind of out but interesting, like the new Kia e-Niro. Don't spec it with the rear C-pillar contrast colour. It looks terrible. Get it all in matching body colour. And the Genesis GV60, equally, don't get it in fluorescent yellow. Both amazing cars. If you're going to Goodwood, let me know. I'm very jealous. As you can tell from the fact that I've been doing an airport run today to pick up my sister from Australia, one of the reasons I was telling you earlier in the week that family reasons mean I don't get any time at Goodwood this year. Not at all bitter about it. Right, a couple of stories to finish off. Lime, the mobility company Lime, are testing an all-electric scooter with long-distance capabilities, 20-mile-an-hour top speed, a little seat for riders as well to provide more comfort, a swappable battery. And it's their vision of actually how can we make mobility electric in big urban areas. Just facilitate that, not just stand-up scooters. They've added kind of turn signals and a horn and a phone holder and stuff. The milk company Oatly. Oh, I do love me Oatly. They are moving to electric delivery in the US. Now, Oatly oat milk is, I think, really big in Germany, their home market of Sweden and the UK. It's everywhere here. And, you know, it tastes nicer than dairy milk. And also, get Oatly Barista if you're going to try it, because it makes delicious coffee. It's really good. And, of course, it's all dairy-free. So it's good for you and good for the planet and good for emissions. And they're turning their North American operations electric for deliveries. They've already been doing that in their home market of Sweden already. Well, they've got 5 trucks now on the road in the US, saving 400,000 kilograms of CO2 every single year from just those 5 trucks distributing Oatly to stores. And they've been doing it with electric trucks in Sweden, their home market, already. They're a public company, by the way, Oatly. Controversial, because one of their big corporate backers before they floated was not always having the best of environmental records, but some of the big fans of the brand sort of turned against them a bit at the time. But I think Oatly is brill and delivering with electric now. Couple of stories about electric shipping. How long have I been going on for? Holy moly. Right, let's be quick. We're almost at half an hour. The French shipping company Brittany Ferries, which sail from near me, actually, in Portsmouth. They have a new ship arriving. It's called the Saint Malo. It's 639 feet. It arrives in a couple of years' time. It's replacing the model that goes from Pompey to Saint Malo in France. It's a hybrid ship, so it's got an 11.5 megawatt hour battery, which it'll use when it's near the shore and in port, which is good for emissions. And when it docks, it'll then plug into the shore system and recharge the battery. Otherwise, it uses liquefied natural gas when it's crossing the channel from England to France. And it's upgradable. So they've built the ships knowing that in the future, they'll need larger batteries and possibly be all electric. But for now, that's too much of a distance. But in Denmark, the Danish e-ferry has just set a new world distance record for pure electric e-ferrying. Now, they just did 50 miles, 50 nautical miles, 92 kilometres on a single battery charge. It's been running since 2019 between Danish islands, and it carries, it's like a 60-metre long ferry that carries cars and passengers, about 31 cars, 5 trucks, and it has a 4.3 megawatt hour battery pack. And it was at the IEA, International Energy Agency Global Conference, and then it sailed back to Denmark, doing 50 nautical miles, pure electric power, and it sets a new long distance record. And finally, here's an interesting one for you. I'll bring it on the podcast, even though I'm massively over time today. There is a new site on the streets of Havana, because Cubans are going electric. You know, the old American cars, which are emblematic of the Cuban capital, writes the Manila Standard website. Well, fuel shortages and US sanctions have been taking their toll, and so Cubans have been looking around, and no longer old American cars from the 1950s are the way to go, but rather homemade electric vehicles. quadricycles that can be bought for $4,000. Might be slower. They might go at 30 miles an hour or so, but they'll get four or five people from A to B. And that's great for taxi drivers. Electric motorbikes, there's about 50,000 of them in Cuba now. Often two or three wheelers made in the country. And 100 workers or so are working in one place in the Minerva assembly plant. And they import parts from China and Vietnam and make electric motorcycles, about 10,000 a year. At the same time, fuel shortages have worsened since the US reinforced their six-decade-old economic blockade of Cuba. And so fuel tankers can't turn up from places like Venezuela, an ally of Cuba. So going electric makes a lot of sense for them. Right, question of the week with emobilitynorway.com. Taking a break for a while. It'll be back. In the meantime, thanks to our premium partners of the podcast, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley and his awesome EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, and Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK. emobilitynorway.com, also Octopus Electric Juice, they make public charging simple. You get one card, one map, one app. It's great. And I'd do it myself. And millbrookcottages.co.uk, five-star luxury cottages down in the southwest in Devon. Have a wonderful day. See you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.